This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kith. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Yes, it is. Good afternoon, folks. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry today. She will be back with you tomorrow from the Big Apple, downtown Manhattan, New York City. Katie Fitzpatrick and Annie Fry take Manhattan. Annie's up there to receive a Gracie Award, which is a national award for women in broadcasting. We're all very excited about it here at the show and at the station. And you'll get to hear from Annie directly from show. I think she'll be broadcasting from the Big Fox Studios of Fox Radio, right there on the Avenue of the Americas in Midtown Manhattan. So that'll be very exciting. I'm with you today. We've got a jam-packed show. A lot has happened in the last 24 hours since I was last with you. A lot of developments, both on the international, the national, and the local scene. And here to help me break it all down is none other than Tony Colombo in studio with me today. Tony, how you doing?
Great to see you again, my friend.
Great to be here. Chad's running the board.
How's it going?
Keeping things hot. It's a radio term.
Keeping things hot?
Radio lingo. Tony, I just saw behind you over your left shoulder, we have a bunch of TV monitors in the studio.
Uh-huh.
And Tony gets to watch Fox News over mine, and I get to watch whatever random programming is on behind him.
We got
to
fix that.
And Tony, however, though, I saw a news flash up there. I know you'll be tuning in at 10:35 p.m. Central for post-Democratic debate analysis with Stephen Colbert and his featured guest, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. How could you miss that? That'll be brilliant. There's a lot of jokes in there.
That's a joke in itself. Stephen Colbert, is he going to, as we go into this election season, is he going to suddenly become a serious journalist? Like, why would you have... You never saw David Letterman,
right,
or Jay Leno.
Right.
They weren't the network correspondent that broke down presidential debates and covered news stories, from a news perspective.
Right.
They would do their own take on things. What's the move here? Is he going to be their...
Yeah.
Is he their news guy now?
I mean, here's your flip test.
There's a lot of credibility.
Here's your flip test in real life, because, Tony, you know, the left likes to say that shows like Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham, Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, those are just hate-filled demagoguery full of a bunch of right-wing alternative facts and fake news, right? But on the other hand, we're supposed to accept the word of a liberal, left-leaning comic?
Yeah,
as
comedian.
Appropriate news analysis?
Right.
That's the opposite?
Right.
That we're supposed to accept?
Who made his career, and there's nothing wrong with this,
right,
but made his career parodying news reporters. Like
that, right.
His whole
it was all parody.
It was fake. It was a fake
news
show, like the Onion on television.
And I'm not saying it wasn't.
And it was funny. And he was good at it.
It was funny, just like
And that's, there's nothing wrong
with
that.
What's his face? John Stewart.
Yeah,
I enjoyed John Stewart. I think it was very funny.
Yeah,
a lot of those shows are hilarious. But now we're supposed to tune in and watch his analysis of the debate. I'm going to suggest you don't do that. I'm going to suggest you listen to Fox or
You mentioned
pick your poison.
Mentioned Laura and Ingram and Sean Hannity
and Tucker
and Tucker. These guys, they definitely have a slant, a conservative viewpoint,
and they admit it.
But they admit it exactly where I was going. They tell you that up front. You know when you're watching those shows that you are getting that host's opinion on whatever issues.
And they're trained in media.
Colbert and others try to pretend to be unbiased reporters.
Right.
And they're not.
Right. They're comedians. And especially...
They're comedians with a slant, an agenda.
Especially somebody like... Tucker Carlson. Tucker Carlson is a brilliant human being who used to write for the National Review. He's a professionally trained journalist who happens to now, in the second half of his career, be doing a commentary show that he admits is a commentary show.
Right. Right.
We all know who the straight news people are on Fox News, and we all know who the commentators are.
Yeah. That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
But CNN and MSNBC...
I'll tune in to you. If I like you and I like your take on the news, I like the way that you look at things and analyze situations, then I am going to want to watch or listen to you when you're on the air.
Right.
There are times when I just want just the facts, ma'am. You know, I just want to know the facts behind the story so I know where to go on Fox News and some other affiliates. I know where the news people are and where the opinion people are. There are people on Fox that sort of are in that gray area. Fox isn't perfect by any means, but these other networks really blur the lines into who is giving editorial and how a story is presented as fact, unbiased fact, but it's loaded.
You never know.
Opinion.
That's the problem. You never know. You can watch CNN all day long and you never really know, is this a straight news show or is this a commentator show? Because all of their news people commentate.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Right. Right.
Constantly.
Just tell me which one you are. You can be whatever you want to be. There's a spot for you on those networks and on the air as an opinionated editorial person.
Right.
Or a reporter, just tell me who you are.
Yeah, which is why it's
don't pretend to be one you're not.
Which is why going back to an older story that's going to come up again as we get further into these debates, the first of which is tonight, the Democratic debate is tonight. Do you know where it is? Do you know where they're having it? Some university or something? Or
I did, and
is it in Charlotte?
I think it's in South Carolina. That's what I was going to say, but I didn't want to. Now that you said it, I feel a little bit better about it.
We know what's happening. It'll be broadcast to the world, and this will be the first time that a collection of, not all of them, because we literally cannot apparently fit all of them on one stage, because there's 24 at last count, maybe 25
Miami.
Of them.
Miami.
Yep. Very good. Miami. So it's in Miami this evening.
I had South Carolina in my head, too. I don't know why.
So it's in Miami, and there'll be 10 candidates on the stage tonight. And I believe the big headliners, and I say headliners because they're the ones who are receiving most of the polling attention right now. The headliners will be Elizabeth Warren and Beto O'Rourke. I don't know that Beto is much of a, although it's questionable to call him a headliner anymore because he came in hot. He came in, I think, near double digits or in double digits, and now he's in single digits. Yeah. And he, no matter what stunt he pulls, no matter how many dentist chairs and barber seats he climbs up into and videos, people just aren't interested anymore for whatever reason. I don't know. Do you know why, Tony? Is it because there's no substance to anything?
No substance, too much, no substance, no backbone. He's not interesting anymore. There's nothing compelling, in my opinion. There's nothing compelling about his candidacy anymore.
Isn't it interesting?
He was a good talker.
Yep.
He was entertaining to sort of look at.
Yep.
The way he was
kind of like a marionette,
and he was super positive and all that. And you know that kind of grabbed your attention, but that only lasts so long. And then when you realize he doesn't have anything to say,
it's kind of nice to know, even on the left, that people in a national representative democracy of 300 plus million people, that, okay, first thing you got to do is get name ID. That's always the first rule of politics. So you do have to, you do have to grab people's attention. You do have to have a thing, a shtick, a platform, or you maybe just have to be interesting, like you were saying. Mm-hmm. But it's good to know that even on the left, look what's happening. Where are people gravitating to? They're gravitating to what we talked about yesterday, the authentic candidates who actually have platforms and positions that they've held for a long time. And now that they've got people's attention, now what do people want to know next? Where are you on the issues?
Yeah.
And that's why you see Joe Biden is still at the top for what reason? His name ID.
Right.
And I think it's solely his name ID. You and I may be in the minority on that, that we think he's going to eventually fall off the planet. I think you and I are on the minority on that right now because everybody's Joe Biden. I'm telling you, folks, the only reason Joe Biden's in double digits is because of his name ID. Who's next? Bernie Sanders and now Elizabeth Warren, because they got people's attention. Bernie for being an avowed communist Marxist socialist, and Elizabeth Warren because she has always been controversial since she first walked on to the scene. And she became controversial in a very bad way for her with the whole I'm a Native American storyline, which has been completely debunked. And she has apparently survived that because she's now climbing back into double digits as far as interest from Democratic voters. So on the stage tonight, Tony, this is a bit of a, I'm not going to say make or break, but Elizabeth Warren is on the ascendancy. And the last thing you want to do is have an epic screw up that hurts that ascendancy. And Beto O'Rourke is on the opposite. They've crossed like an X. And Warren's on the ascendancy in ID and interest. And Beto is on the descendancy in ID and interest.
Yes. Yep.
And listen to what we were making fun of Claire McCaskill yesterday, who was making fun of Elizabeth Warren to some extent.
Mm-hmm.
But Claire McCaskill says some interesting things about what could happen tonight. And it's along the lines of this is an opportunity to make your mark and not screw up.
I think people should tune in tonight just to see who makes a fool of themselves, because somebody will.
Hopefully not me.
Well, somebody will try so hard to stand out, to try to do what I would call, in quotes, a Trump.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be that outside the mainstream that they're talked about the next day. But that's a real tightrope, because you go too far and it looks phony, it looks forced.
Yeah, but where Claire's wrong is it worked for Trump. And so Claire tried to say, like Trump. Well, Trump's the president of the United States. So you don't need to make a you need to make a statement. You've got 10 people on the stage. You need to stand out, but Claire's right in the sense if you go too far, look too much like a goofball, which apparently Beto O'Rourke is these days because the voters are becoming less and less interested in him, then like we were talking about yesterday, you may be done after this debate. You may have to pack it in.
I think some people are going to have to do that.
Right.
Because it's just, there's just too much. We're going to see this thing tonight and then tomorrow. There's going to be some of these candidates that even barely even get a time to talk.
Correct.
Because there's just too many of them and not enough time to get to everyone.
Right.
It's like Ben Carson in 2016 when he said, will somebody please attack me so I can talk? Because they were all attacking Trump and fighting with each other. And so every time they got attacked, they were allowed to respond. And nobody was attacking Ben Carson because nobody had any issues with him. And he just stood there at his podium and didn't talk for barely at all for that whole debate. And, you know, at that point, I mean, he was a long shot candidate, obviously, anyway. But after that, after those debates where he's not even getting a chance to speak, he was done. And so that's how it's going to go with some of these candidates as well. Even though they're standing on that stage and technically have the cameras pointed at them, it's not going to help them at all. They're only going to get a couple of minutes to talk and nobody's going to be
interested. Like we were talking about before we got on the show, it's going to be very interesting to see what vision for America today's Democratic Party is going to put out. Are we going to hear anything regarding the principles and the foundations upon which the original Democratic Party has always stood for, the working men and women of this country, they always like to expand the social safety net, things like that. Or is this going to be a new vision for today's new Democratic Party where it's all going to be about, is the whole debate tonight going to be about open borders and more entitlements for everyone and less people working and more people on the government dole? And, you know, what about their position on, what are they going to say about their position on international foreign relations? You know, because the risk they run is, you know, Donald Trump, despite what the left wants to say, is not wrong on every single thing every single day. But the risk you run is, if you say anything that has anything to do with where Donald Trump is on something, you run the risk of being, well, you're just like Donald Trump.
You run that risk if you are just kind of moderate.
Minding your own business.
I mean, we saw Democrats getting booed when they said that free college was too expensive and we needed to find a different way to do it, and they're getting booed. I'm really interested in that tonight.
The overall
vision. Of these candidates,
what message comes out?
How left are they? Is it going to be a fight to the left? And if somebody has the audacity to say, "Well, I agree, we need health care, but we can't just give it away for free because we can't afford," are they going to get booed off the stage
like Hickenlooper did in Colorado?
Exactly.
Yes, we're going to see. Hey, we got a great show today. Up next, right after this first break, is Jeff Fitter from Super Smokers. He's bringing in another very good friend of mine, Scott Barthelmus, who's one of the PR comms directors out at the Eureka Fire Protection District. They have an awesome event tomorrow at Super Smokers Barbecue in Eureka. And Jeff is a very good friend of mine. He's a sponsor on the DGS, sponsor of mine. He's a lover of the station, and he's doing an awesome thing for first responders and law enforcement. We've had some real serious tragedies, folks, here in our area over the last couple weeks. So Jeff Fitter is opening up his heart and his soul and his restaurant in support of these first responders. So we're going to talk about this awesome event he's doing tomorrow. We also got Senator Bob Bonner, who is testifying, who just testified on Capitol Hill up in Washington, D.C. It's the one-year anniversary of the Janus decision, and Bob Bonner, our very own Bob Bonner, was up testifying on Capitol Hill about another horrible bill the U.S. House is trying to move forward to remove the rights of workers in for the sake of unionization. And in the 2 o'clock hour, Miley Smith, a labor expert, staff attorney at IPI, we will talk about the one-year anniversary of the Janus decision that brought more worker freedom to more workers across this great land. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry here all day today at FM News Talk 97.1. Keep it here. We've got Jeff Fitter of Super Smokers up next.
You're listening to the Annie Fry Show.
You have general election voters watching, too. Do you think Democrats should keep that in mind?
I think it's really important they be thinking not of that left-leaning person on Twitter, but that single mom in the suburbs who's working an extra job to save for her child's college education, or that family that can't afford their insulin. They really do need to relate to not just the middle of America, but the middle of the political spectrum.
You really don't know what you're talking about right now.
Yeah, so... Claire McCaskill is pleading for sanity here in the heartland for the Democratic debate tonight, but I don't know that she's going to get it. I'm not really sure what's going to happen, but we'll delve back into that later on in the show, because right now I've got some very special guests in studio who are in here for a great cause today, tomorrow, from my hometown of Eureka, Missouri. You know him well. Jeff Fitter, the owner and operator, the pitmaster extraordinaire out at Super Smokers Barbecue in Eureka. Jeff, welcome back.
Extraordinaire might be a little bit too far.
I don't know that you're on.
Here I am.
You said extraordinaire is too far, huh?
Extraordinaire
but you'll
might
take
be
it.
Too far, but I'll take it. Yeah. I'm not going to turn down a compliment.
First one that's ever given you a compliment,
Thank
right?
Thank you. Yeah.
And also joining him is Scott Barthelmus, who is... Scott, what's your official title at the Eureka Fire Protection District?
Division Chief.
That's what you're going by today. Okay, very good. Yeah.
Chief Brown's assistant.
I told him we had to keep it. I told him we had to keep it radio level.
Radio friendly. Yeah. So we're glad you're here, Scott, and that we sent Brown packing this week. He's allegedly working in Colorado. How's that work out?
He says that because he thinks he's not listening.
Yeah.
All of our phones will be ringing here in a second.
Exactly. No, in all seriousness, Chief Greg Brown works near, far, and everywhere. He's out in Colorado and working on some stuff out there with... Is it, Scott, what was that? Is it something with opioids or what?
So I may have that mixed up. He's out there for a firefighter cancer symposium.
Oh, the cancer symposium. Yeah.
Yeah. To help the Missouri Valley, the whole Midwest with trying to do initiatives to help firefighters prevent and be treated for cancer.
Oh, fantastic. That's great. And so I'm glad you could step in today and be here in support of this awesome event that Super Smokers has going on tomorrow, right, Jeff? Tomorrow, Thursday?
Tomorrow, all day. And you alluded to it before the break. All day tomorrow, from open to close, we are doing a fundraiser for Backstoppers and for Responder Rescue. We are going to donate 15% of all sales Two, we're going to split it evenly between the two, to those two very worthy causes.
And this was something that you hadn't necessarily planned to do at this point in time, right? I know you have a first responder discount every day, I think, or certain days of the week.
We do.
And you do stuff all the time for EMS, law enforcement, fire. But this was something that you thought you needed to do right now. For what reason?
So there's the two main reasons. There was a firefighter from Maryland Heights who recently passed away, who started his career or early in his career worked for Eureka Fire Protection and lived as a resident in Eureka, Chris Moore.
Chris Moore, yes.
And then Officer Langsdorf, who was just fallen. He was a prior to going to work for the North County Cooperative. He was a full-time realtor for Realty Executives Premier, which is who I part-time am a realtor with as well, in Eureka. And I was actually talking to Chuck Mayer, Chuck and Kim,
yes,
own Realty Executives. I was talking to him on the way up here. I had the pleasure of meeting Mike a couple of times, just kind of in passing in the office. Chuck was filling me in a bit about him on my drive up, actually. He obviously had a huge passion for police work, and when offered the opportunity, he left the full-time real estate gig that he was doing and went right back into the cooperative.
Two big losses for our region. And Scott, I assume you knew these fellows personally.
I knew Chris very well from when he was at the fire district.
He seemed like a great guy.
Very dedicated, very passionate. It was a loss that we lost in the Maryland Heights, but he strove every day to be the best firefighter paramedic he could be and be the best that he could be for his community.
And what about his family? Who does he leave behind? Do you know?
So leaves behind two children, mm-hmm. Tori and ZJ, son and daughter, that mm-hmm. Now fortunately being supported by backstoppers and by Maryland Heights Fire and the fire and public safety community. But, he worked hard and unfortunately succumbed to a medical issue after a very busy shift. Mm-hmm. And now we've lost a hero.
And yeah, it really is. And this is where Backstoppers comes in and all the other organizations. How about, what can you fellas tell me about Officer Langsdorf? I did a little research on him yesterday. Remarkable fellow. There was a bunch of stories about him rescuing kids down here in the city of St. Louis from some big, tall building fires. And one of the young kids he rescued was, I had a Facebook post yesterday.
Yeah,
he's a young man now.
Yeah.
And he's talking about how he was really wanting to reconnect with Officer Langsdorf someday, and he's really sorry that's not going to happen now. And he was holding up the newspaper article of the rescue.
You know, and I didn't know him personally. Like I said, I met him in passing a couple times. I have a couple of friends beside Chuck that have told me that they knew him and knew him well, and by all accounts, a super great guy. You know, one of the biggest reasons that I'm doing this, besides what I believe is the responsibility of business owners to be able to give back to the community, and this is a wonderful way to do so, there's so much, I don't know, dare I say, hatred towards anybody in a uniform today. And it's not just police. It's mm-hmm. not just firefighters. It's military, depending upon where you are in the country. It's not about that. It's about, to me, it's about mankind. It's about being a human being. The very first thing I did, probably too much information, but, I'm getting older and my bladder's not what it used to be, and I have to get up and go to the restroom way more in the middle of the night than I should. In the middle of the night, I don't know, 3 a.m., I literally sent an email to the person that I was working with from the Post-Dispatch about some advertising and told them, I'm done. After what happened with the Post-Dispatch, I'm not interested in doing that. And it's not just them. It's the person that picked up the phone and started recording the Facebook Live. The whole thing is just... to me, it's crazy that mankind has gotten to a point.
Yeah, this inability to respect an objective rule of law or an objective
right.
authority, especially for people who are these are human beings. They're not robots.
Right.
You know, they volunteer to put themselves in harm's way for the rest of us.
Right. And your first thought was, I don't know what the first thought was in anybody's mind, but the fact that it showed up on Facebook and then was shared by a media source is just, it's unforgivable to me.
Yeah. Scott, this is where incredible organizations like backstoppers and responder rescue come in. And a lot of us, I didn't have it on today, but I had on my my backstoppers, guns and hoses, rubber bracelet the other day, and I got stopped. I think it was when we were down at the lake, actually. I was went in a coffee shop, and older fellow was there. He had on like a U.S. flag t-shirt, and he stopped me, and he said, "Hey, are you with backstoppers?" I said, "I support the group. A lot of my friends help run it and all that." He goes, "Well, I'm retired law enforcement from the city of St. Louis. I moved to the lake 25 years ago. I was one of the first guys who was like one of the founding people of Backstoppers." You know, wow. He goes, "I think it's great that you're wearing that." You know, and so this is a big network. Backstoppers is a remarkable organization that was started right here in the St. Louis area. Right? I mean, it's just, and it continues to do good. It doesn't just do guns and hoses. It does work 24/7, 365.
Right, you know, and the thing about Backstoppers is there to support the fallen firefighters, police officers, paramedics. And you look at when we interview people that want to get into public safety, they say, you ask them, "Why do you want to do this?" "I want to help people," right? And then, you know, Backstoppers does that for those that make that ultimate sacrifice, right? They help people, you know, that have it help the families of those that have fallen. And unfortunately, we're seeing that way too often in the metropolitan area. And Backstoppers steps up and is a great organization.
What can you tell me about Responder Rescue? I'm not as familiar with them.
So Responder Rescue, there's a little different niche that they do. They'll help people that have some traumatic injuries and other needs that it may not be a fallen officer or whatever, but they're going to help in other needs that people don't realize that there's a lot of our firefighters, our paramedics, our police officers that, you know, get disabling injuries and stuff and during their career and have to you know, to get out. And so many of us, this is what we know. You know, and it's changing. Some of those injuries, you know, I know guys that are now confined to wheelchairs and things like that, that, you know, they did their service and Responder Rescue steps in and helps other ways. But both organizations are doing great things for those that put their lives on the line, you know, every day for the community and to help the community. And really, you know, are if you look at fire and police and paramedics that are out there to help in their time of need, that's who you call. And Backstoppers and Responder Rescue are the ones that public safety calls when our people are in time.
Well, Jeff, I know the Eureka community always steps up large anytime there is a need, mainly because our community is often the victim of natural disasters. So, like, we not only do we give back, but we live it. We live it ourselves, you know. And Scott and I were talking a little bit about how we've been blessed, knock on Formica here, that the flooding hasn't affected us as much this year. We still need those rivers to go down. I'm glad it's going to be 95 degrees and hot and sunny this week because we may dry things up a little bit. But, Jeff, I expect not only the Eureka community, but the surrounding communities to, I think you're going to have a big crowd throughout the day tomorrow.
You know what? We're cooking for it. The response so far from the posts that we have on Facebook, the emails that I've gotten has just been overwhelmingly positive. I hope that we have just an amazing amount of people out there tomorrow. We're cooking enough food to feed many. So come early, come often.
Come for lunch and you can come back for dinner.
Absolutely.
Afternoon snack.
And come get a little extra, as Tony would tell you. The brisket is great at breakfast too. So.
Yeah, Tony. I'm about ready to chew on my hand because there's ribs in front of me.
Jeez.
Tony, what's over there from Super Smokers today?
Well, there's some turkey. There's some brisket, right? And, you know, a lot has been made of my Atkins diet that I've been on for the last few months. We've talked about it on an Annie show and Dave's show. And I didn't know Jeff was on the show until you were promoting it 20 minutes ago. And
your ears perked up.
My ears perked up and my heart was lifted. I was so happy to hear that he was coming in because it's an Atkins dream.
That's
because
true.
I can eat all the meat I want, and the Super Smokers food is just unbelievable. So you're not only just going out to donate to a good cause, but you're going to get an amazing meal. You're doing yourself a favor on top of
to reward those that are rewarding others.
Absolutely. So Super Smokers Barbecue, Eureka, Missouri, off the first Eureka exit. How do you usually describe it, Jeff? I know how I would describe it, but how do you tell people to get to Super Smokers?
I tell them Google 601 Stockell Drive. You can't
miss
it.
There you go. It's right up there at the First Eureka exit. Super Smoker's been there a long time. Jeff is a newer. He's been a long time fan and pit master. He's a newer owner. I love what you've done with the place.
Your new sides, your
experimental stuff you've been doing with some of the meats. Hey, tell us about that DGS ball really fast.
Well, we do have Dave Glover's show ball. It is a hotly hot pepper cheese wrapped in spicy pork sausage, wrapped in a thinly sliced pork steak, wrapped in bacon. What's not good? Then smoked off. We do slurry it in our rib slurry, which adds a little bit of brown sugar to it, but by and large it is very keto and Atkins friendly. Doggone pound. I mean,
lovely.
The thing is huge.
Scott, you got a favorite there? You got a favorite Super Smokers? Or do you just
let me tell you, Scott, you just say
give me page two.
Scott has eaten through the menu. when he did the polar bear plunge, bulking up because he needed a little extra padding for the cold Lake of the Ozarks water. And so he came for, what, two and a half weeks, and he literally ate through the menu. Every day he came in, and he just had something different. But I think he's went back to his chicken sandwich and his favorite sauce.
The guy looks like he's in prize fighting form, Scott. You're looking good these days. So, you know, you training for something? You got anything, something coming up? Or?
Yeah, Chief Brown wants me to do Guns N' Hoses.
Oh, really?
Last time, a little preview here. Yeah,
okay.
Last time I tried to play with him, he broke a rib. So, broke your rib.
Scott Barthelmess, first of all, Scott, let me tell you personally, thank you for everything you do for us in the Eureka community. Yeah. You've been a stalwart there and a fixture for a long time, and hope for a long time to come. So it's been an honor and pleasure to work side by side with you in our various flooding operations over the last few years. Thanks for coming in today. Thanks for everything you do. Jeff, thanks for everything you do in support of all these fine men and women who don the uniform and stand between us and Armageddon literally every single day in so many different ways, bring us back to life, or protect our property and our homes. And it's just, I couldn't thank you more for everything you do for the community.
It's the very least I can do. Thank you.
Folks, Super Smokers Barbecue in Eureka, Missouri tomorrow, a Backstoppers and Responder Rescue fundraiser all day. A big portion of the proceeds goes to both of those excellent organizations. You can go to their Facebook page, just type in Super Smokers Barbecue. It'll take you right to it. I'm going to be out there tomorrow. Hope to see you there. Thanks for joining us today on FM News Talk 901. Gentlemen, thank you for bringing all the vittles in. And Tony and Chad and I will finish them off in the break. We'll be right back after this here at FM News Talk 97.1.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
How he doesn't get President Obama to endorse him, there has to be some reason why he's not endorsing him. He was a vice president. They seem to have gotten along. And how President Obama is not endorsing him is rather a big secret. If you want to know, if you know the answer, please let me know, because I think it's very important. And then he goes and lies and said, I asked the president not to endorse me. Give me a break.
That was President Trump. That's a little preview of everything you're going to see in this campaign. If Biden happens to get through the primary, which I don't think is going to happen, and neither does Tony, and we may be in the minority on that. But I mean, the fact that Barack Obama is not going to introduce or endorse his number two after serving with him as vice president for 8 years truly is remarkable. And look, politically, I get it. I get why President Obama can't come out at this point and endorse him. But on the other hand, it's got to be a bit embarrassing, especially when you saw Biden trying to make excuses. If Biden had said nothing, I think it would have been better. But he was like tweeting out things about how they're best friends forever on Best Friends Day and all that stuff.
He tweeted out
it looked painful.
The bracelets.
Yeah, they're
the
bracelets.
Best friend bracelets. That was their friendship bracelets,
yes,
with their names on them.
It was like, yeah, he didn't endorse me, but look, we're still besties. Biden shouldn't have done. He shouldn't have done anything.
That tweet, when he sent that tweet out, that was when he was disqualified, in my opinion. Like,
That ended up supporting what Trump was saying, right? It ended up giving fuel to the fire.
Yeah.
I think it would have been a lot better off if Biden had done nothing, ignored him.
Like you just said, I understand President Obama's hesitance to not endorse anyone, but in this case, I mean, when he was president, he told the country that the second best person to run this country behind me,
yep,
is Joe Biden.
Yes,
I picked Joe Biden to be my vice president
twice.
So he's obviously the second most qualified person, in my opinion, to run this country behind me.
Correct.
So if he did support him, even I don't even think it would hurt any of the other Democrats in the race. Or, and I think they would all say, well, he's got to say that because he was his vice president for 8 years. So, of course, he said that. I don't remember. Did Reagan immediately support HW?
I don't recall.
I know Bill Clinton supported Al Gore. I don't know if he did it right out of the gate.
Right.
But he did. I know he was a big supporter of Al Gore. So you're so right. And the president is, too. And it's obvious, you know, what he's saying. But nobody else says it. So it's a little refreshing that there's something there. I'm not buying that Joe Biden said, hey, don't support me. Of course you would take Barack Obama's support.
Well,
the best thing that could happen to him.
And Tony, look what the media tried to do to bury this story. Instead of talking about something that's going to happen now, as in next year, as in President Barack Obama not endorsing his number two to be president next year, did you see what the media did this last weekend? They grilled Trump on whether or not he'd support Mike Pence in 6 years for president. I'm like, really? That's how you're going to try to bury that story? That's right. How you're going to try to put the shoe on the other foot?
Right.
Asking Donald Trump, before he's even elected a second time, if he would support Mike Pence for president in 2024.
Did he answer?
He basically said, it was a Chuck Todd interview. It was a Chuck Todd interview
right.
over the weekend.
Right.
And he answered. He basically said, look, what I just said. Look, I got to get elected first. I'm focused right. on that. This is 6 years from now. Mike's a great guy. You know, I don't know. He basically said, I don't even know if Mike wants to run, you know? So it is. It's a stupid, silly question because you're putting the cart before the horse. You're not talking about what's right in front of you. Did you notice how, Tony, nobody on the media has picked up on this back and forth between Trump, Biden, Obama, and the endorsement? They don't want to talk about it. Nobody in the liberal media sphere wants to even touch that with a 12-foot pole.
Right.
Because it's uncomfortable for them.
Yeah, it is. But they are going to fall over themselves when President Obama does get involved in this election, which I believe he is going to do heavily. He's going to break tradition.
He is.
And he is going to heavily involve himself in the 2020. But he's not going to do it when there's 25 Democrats running. Mm-hmm. He's going to wait until there's either just the nominee or some clear front runner going against Trump. And then I think he's going to be the first time that we see a former president just like fully involved in an election.
And I think you're absolutely right. And I'll tell the folks why. It's because Donald Trump has largely dismantled President Obama's entire legacy. The only thing left is some skeletal remains of Obamacare. Obama knows that if Trump gets elected to one more term, he might as well have never even served. Because Trump will then have gotten 8 years of judicial picks. He's going to get another pick or two on the Supreme Court. He's going to continue to reduce regulations, dismantle Obamacare, blah, 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 blah. He's going to continue to dismantle the entire legacy. So the Obama folks know that this is their last shot to preserve some of the vestiges and to maybe rebuild some of that castle that Donald Trump has torn down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's to only have the Trump presidency be one term. And that's huge. We've got a bunch of stuff to talk about today that we will get to. Robert Mueller is going to be called to testify. Nicole Galloway,
after he said he wouldn't do it.
That's right. Nicole Galloway is getting closer and closer to announcing running as governor as a Democrat here in the state of Missouri. She's our state auditor. We have Senator Bob Onder joining us in the next hour right at the top of the hour break around 107. He just testified on Capitol Hill. And I heard from one of my buddies up in D.C. who helped arrange that testimony opportunity for him that an Iowa congressman or congresswoman raked him over the coals about daring to be there. And she wasn't even on the committee. Democrats do all these things where they bring other people in to yell and scream at you. So we'll get to all that. But before we go to the break, I want to get Gene on the line so I don't miss him. Gene, good afternoon. Welcome to the Annie Fry Show. You're on the air.
Jones, had a quick question and one quick comment. One is, why did Trump grant them an extra 2 weeks, and then he's going to turn around and do what he was initially going to do and deport all the people that have overstayed their welcome? I don't understand, unless that was just a token thing.
Mm-hmm. I think it was, Gene. I think it was calling their bluff. So, Gene, you're right. So all these people that President Trump threatened to deport, people need to know who they are. These are people that have already gone through the entire immigration court system, been adjudicated, and have been determined that need to be deported. So they've been through all of the hoops, the bells, the whistles, even on our complicated system. They've been through all of it. So he's calling their bluff. He's like, if we're not going to deport these people, then you're saying you're never going to deport anyone. So I think the president was calling their bluff, saying, okay, fine, Congress, then you guys, you men and ladies, do something about it. They're not going to do anything, Gene. So that, I think, was calling their bluff. Yes.
And the other thing, there's just one little thing I wanted to add on. You probably already know about it. A lot of people don't. But in 1944, Norman Mattoon Thomas said that the American public would never embrace socialism, but through the disguise and the tactics of liberalism, they would come to surrender to the socialist way of thinking. And he stopped running as a socialist and started running as a Democrat because he said the Democrats have already adopted the socialist platform. And that was in 1944.
Yep, they changed their name, Gene. They started calling themselves. They realized that socialism truly was a dirty word, as it should be for most Americans back then. And so they called themselves progressives because that sounded more happy, right? And they've run as progressives this entire time. But now they're willing to just flat out embrace socialism. And I'll be interested, Gene, to see what they say tonight about that and if America recoils or responds to that. So, hey, Gene, great call. Thanks for calling. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Am I out here at 50? Or 57. Okay, very good. Very good. So this gives me an extra time to tell you all what's coming up next.
Yes.
So so we're going to head to a break here in about a minute, and then you want to stay right here because right after this top of the hour break, we're going to quickly be back with Senator Bob Onder, who is our
very interesting stuff.
Senior senator from the great county of St. Charles. He was testifying up on Capitol Hill. Why the heck was he up there? Well, they were talking about an issue that would affect the entire country, public sector union employees. Basically, Congress is trying to do an end run around, I believe, around the Janus decision from a year ago. But we'll get the nitty gritty from Bob Onder. How was that testimony? What was it like testifying on Capitol Hill? One of my little DC birds told me he did fantastic, as I would fully expect him to do. That he was the shining star in this committee hearing today. He was in enemy territory there in the U.S. House. So we'll hear all about that. And then in the 2 o'clock hour at 2:07, Miley Smith joins us. She's a labor expert and a staff attorney with the Illinois Policy Institute. Folks, don't forget about the Super Smokers event tomorrow. All day long, a huge portion of their proceeds goes to backstoppers and first responder rescue. We had Jeff Fitter and Scott Barthelmess in here from the Eureka Fire Protection District. Fine gentlemen for a fine cause tomorrow, so make sure you visit them. Tim Jones in for Annie Fry. Lots more after this on FM News Talk 97.1.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.